Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Dr. Jerry is on the attack, liberty's friend and tyranny's foe. The heathen are raging and the battle for America is on. The devil beware, Dr. Scheidbach is on the air, deftly swinging the sword of the spirit, aimed at the heart of the dragon of lies, the prince of the power of the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. A reopened California rally is scheduled for from 11 to 12 in Arroyo Grande, Saturday, June 27, corner of Grand Avenue in Oak Park, and in Santa Maria, July 4th, at the corner of Betteravia and Bradley. Sadly, the AG rally is too early for me to make it, but I believe I will be home July 4th, so I plan to attend the one in Santa Maria. By the way, I'm endorsing Andy Caldwell for Congress. He's the right man for the job, and he is exactly the representation that we need in Congress today. The news sifting policy statement of the Brain Massage Show is encapsulated in Romans 12:17 and 2 Corinthians 8, verse 21. Romans 12:17, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. 2 Corinthians 8:21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. We work very hard to maintain that ideal. O'Reilly has the no-spin zone, but we have the no-lie zone. So welcome to the no-lie zone.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Okay, my friends, what's on the menu today? Nike surprised at a $790 million loss in revenue from North American sales after picking up Kaepernick to endorse their product. Among all the evils Black Lives Matter and Antifa are unleashing upon our nation, now this, religious bigotry. Believing that Jesus was black, BLM New York Chair Representative Hawk Newsom claims all images of white Jesus must be toppled. Fox News host Martha McCullum did not know what to say to this, but I do. Trump has begun to step up, order the arrest of any who vandalize or destroy federal property in the United States, said it's effective immediately. Up to 10 years in prison, as provided for in the Veterans Memorial Preservation Act, and the voter fraud machine being tweaked for November. We'll look at the double-edged sword of mail-in balloting, the masking of Americans. More and more doctors are coming out to say it's nonsense. So what's going on with this thing anyway? My friends, it's time for your brain massage. Nike loses 46% of its business revenue from North America. That's over $790 million after calling on Kaepernick to endorse their product. Personally, I am getting sick and tired of these businesses who want to jump into these social issues. You know, they lick their finger, seeing which way the wind is blowing, and then take sides. I'm tired of it. The only way to fight back is to say, okay, you chose sides, now you're my enemy. Really, you want to make enemies out of everybody who's on a certain political side of things. I've always been apprehensive about boycotts. You know that if you listen to my show for any length of time. It seems to me that I should be able to make a selection about jeans and shoes or whatever based on the quality and price of the product, and not about what political statement I want to make. But these brands are pushing this thing to the point buying shoes or pants or whatever is a political decision now. I hate this. But the only way to combat it is to say, okay, you want to be my political enemy? You want to attack what I believe and what I cherish? You want to undermine my values as an American? What recourse do I have but to start making my purchasing decisions based on what political ideology your company has lined up with? Why can't you just leave that on the personal level, leave the business out of it? And Nike just discovered what many of these guys have not yet figured out. The blowhards are creating a false breeze. Yeah, the bloviating, screaming horde has pushed the air in one direction, so when these guys stick their finger up in the air, they feel the breeze coming from, the fires in Seattle, Portland, New York, to name only a few, Chicago, and so on. But the silent majority, they just want to be left alone. They just want to live their lives, right? They just want to come home to their families, enjoy some time with the family, watch the kids grow up. That's all they want. And lately, they've begun to stir. And there's a strong wind coming. Talk about inheriting the wind. Among all the evils Black Lives Matter, Antifa are unleashing upon our nation, now religious bigotry is thrown in the mix. Believing that Jesus was black, they can believe that if they want to. That's not the issue. But BLM, New York Chair Representative Hawk Newsom, now says that because Jesus was black, they have the right to go about tearing down any image of Jesus that's white. Bigots. They have a religious belief? Fine. Leave them to their religious belief. And leave others to theirs, for heaven's sake. Fox News. But see, these people can't leave you alone. They will not leave you alone with your freedoms and with your liberties and your opinions and your beliefs. They will not leave you alone. Fox News host Martha McCullum did not know what to say to Hawk Newsom, but I do. It does not matter what color Jesus was. He died for the sins of all mankind, and the blood he shed was red, just like yours and mine, with the exception that he had no sin in his. And he arose from the grave, declaring himself to be ruler over heaven and earth. Then he sent his disciples to preach the gospel to all nations. I have no problem with him being represented as a black, brown, white, red, yellow, whatever. That only, to my mind, represents the truth that he died for all of us. He's everybody's Jesus. But today, everything is about black and white. Forget about Paul McCartney's song about the black and the white keys on the piano lying side by side in harmony, so why can't we? No, 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 we have to be at each other's throats with satanic hatred and vicious violence. I want no part of that. It's of the devil, every bit of it. So let's take a look at the color of Jesus, now that it's being used to justify bigotry. We know Jesus was Jewish, but what a lot of people don't know, and really it's quite fascinating, when you start looking to answer the question about pigmentation, Jews come in all colors. Yeah. Several articles have been written about this phenomenon, published in various journals, and so I got one reference here in my notes. In other words, most Jews don't know how to answer that question, quite frankly, because there are black Jews, Hispanic Jews, Middle Eastern Jews, and, well, white Jews. And that's because race is an invented term by French revolutionists from the Latin raza, and at the time it referred only to categories of people based on physical attributes. Later the word racial came into vogue, and it managed to broaden the categorization of people, dividing them up into cultural distinctions thought to be influenced by race or ethnic origins. Finally, the word racism came into use, and Trotsky's credited with defining it. I wrote in my show, where I dealt with this subject thoroughly, Trotsky saw the truth about racism. That's show number 717, by the way. You can find it on our website, brainmassage.net. Go to the archives and search for race or racism, and you'll find it there. Trotsky saw the truth about racism early on. He defined it as a vapid, bombastic variety of assumed superiority based on physical attributes that identify you with a certain group. And this is the sort of thinking that leads to Auschwitz, by the way. The connection between racism and extreme nationalism dates back to 1924 from an article published in the Portland-based Oregonian. In that paper, the Nazi Party in Germany was, well, held in favor and explained, quote, the elections show that the Germans, at the moment, want neither racist nor communist, that is, neither extreme nationalist nor extreme revolutionist. Apparently, the reporter connected racist with extreme nationalism. Well, the liberal Oregonian was wrong. Nazism is nothing if not extreme nationalism. And Hitler was totally racist, believing the Aryan race was superior to all others. So the point here is that race is a fabricated means to categorize people into groups, to induce from characteristics observed to be generally held in common by certain groups to be true of every individual in the group, and then to begin classifying people by their skin pigmentation rather than by what MLK asked for, by the content of their character. It's wicked, it's devilish, and the devil's promoted this in our culture. The truth is, race does not exist. There's only one race, and that is the human race. Dividing people by something called race is, well, frankly, racist, which is an ideological assumption invented by a lying devil to divide mankind against each other. Skin pigmentation is not a legitimate category by which to judge any human being, and the Jewish people beautifully illustrate this. As I said, there are Jews that are black, Jews that are Hispanic, Jews that are Mexican, Jews that are white. These are varieties of skin pigmentation. What develops in families of men or in tribes of men is virtually unrelated to skin pigmentation, except in cases where some people buy into the race lie, or when the sin of prejudice and envy and hatred enter in. But remember, there have been clan wars between black African tribes for centuries. Come on! Quit buying into this lie. And among whites, by the way. I mean, you go to Scotland, and the wars between Scotland and England, that's white against white. Whites have been killing whites for millennia. One Indian tribe in Mexico attacked and murdered an entire Mexican tribe. Aztec Indians killed and enslaved other Indian tribes. It has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with one group wanting what another group has and rallying people to their cause by whatever they can use to stir them up. It reminds me of Gulliver's Travels and the Lilliputian Wars, you know, over how they cracked their boiled eggs, little enders or big enders. And of course, it had nothing to do with any egg, but everything to do with the struggle for control of resources. One side wanted what the other side had. The egg was a superficial way to differentiate them and rally each side to their cause. It's Satan's work. That's what race is today, a superficial artifact created by the devil and used by greedy people to justify taking from one group what they want. And that's true back in slavery with the whites. It's true now with some of these blacks. Well, I need to move toward the break, so let's finish up on my answer to Hawk Newsom's claim that Jesus was black, and for that reason, all statues of Jesus must be pulled down and desecrated. Now, I have to offer a caveat here. I'm not a fan of statues of Jesus. First, it sneaks right up to the border of idolatry, in my opinion, violating Exodus 21 and 2 about images used in worship. Second, it's impossible to know what he actually looked like, so any representation of him is necessarily an invention of the artist. As for skin pigmentation, he was from the family of Shem. Shem populated most of what is now called the Middle East, and that's a mixed bag. There were light-skinned people in the upper Mesopotamia and darker-skinned people toward the lower regions. If you study Egyptian art, almost all depictions of a person shows them as being light-skinned. Check out ancient Egyptian art. The people who populated Africa came mostly from Ham. Ham was Shem's brother. So how different can they be? Japheth also, a brother to Ham and Shem, ended up populating Europe. Everyone knows the Greeks were light-skinned. I don't know exactly how the different skin pigmentations developed. I think they were all in Adam at creation. And it was God's intention over time these things would develop. Some call it adaptation. I don't know. All I know is that skin pigmentation varies within each family, sometimes dramatically. And no one is white unless you're talking about albinos. Dividing people by skin pigmentation is wicked. We all came from Adam and Eve, and then from Noah, and then from one of his three sons, Shem, Ham, or Japheth. The descendants of each mixed together. And so it's all mixed up. These were brothers. And as I pointed out, skin pigmentation can vary widely within the same family. It's obvious that when God created Adam and Eve, he put in them the genes that would develop all these varieties. In the same way, you see a certain trait show up, then you breed to develop that trait, whatever, and that can happen naturally also, and it does. So God is a God of amazing variety. Just look at creation, and it's all beautiful. But Marxist groups like BLM and Antifa, and they are Marxist groups, mark my words, it's been proved, and fascist groups like white supremacists or black supremacists, for that matter, or La Raza, these people turn it all into something ugly, and worse, something dangerous. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the King, and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his spirit into the world, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Get God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World today. www.godswar2020.com.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. We were talking about the fact that race has nothing to do with what is going on in America right now. that race is a lie. And what's going down here in this country is multi-layered. So let's go ahead and take a shot at peeling the onion, or at least part of it. On the outside of the onion, we have a group that is satanically motivated with hatred. The Democrat Party is the party of hate. Hatred for whites, hatred for America, hatred for women, hatred for capitalism, hatred for that baby in the womb, hatred for Christianity, at least anything resembling biblical Christianity, hatred for the Bible, hatred for the Lord's church, hatred for blacks, by the way. Oh yeah, total hatred for the blacks they continue to abuse with their policies and the way they manipulate us. It's unreal. Happily, many black brothers and sisters are waking up to all this. I've heard many lately speak up saying BLM is actually run by white Democrats as a fundraiser. I heard someone say over $1 billion has been funneled to white Democrat politicians from BLM and Antifa. These leaders poison the minds of angry people, black and white, by the way, over issues that are virtually non-existent today. But they stage events and frame them into an issue. So Hawk Newsom says he does not condone violence, but believes it is necessary because, as he explained it, look at the results. Now, this I thought was very interesting. We get action, he said, when we commit violence. That's when we get the attention of the American people. Otherwise, we're ignored and nothing happens. He even said, this is what's rewarded. That's what he said. Well, now, who is rewarding this behavior? Democrats. Listen to what he's saying. He's saying they use violence because when they do, they're rewarded with results. What a mess. The liberal Democrats are feeding this, my friends. In other words, it is safe to say they own this. And I'm not talking about the peaceful Black Lives Matter protest. That is fine. I'm talking about these riots, the use of violence. They're the ones encouraging it because they believe it's going to topple Trump's bid for re-election. They want to create as much unrest as possible. And it serves them, by the way, in multiple ways that I don't have time to get into other than to point out, let's just say keeping eyes away from what Obama and company was up to in Spygate and all that. But that's going to come out against them anyway. Let's let the BLM leaders tell us what this rioting is all about. They are trying to get Trump out of office. See, that's their marching orders from their white masses. And Trump has done more for the black people than any other president in history outside of Abraham Lincoln. One of the founders of the movement made that very clear in a statement she made recently. We want to get Trump out of office. Hawk Newsom said much the same thing. And how do you suppose they think this raging violence is going to get Trump out of office? How does that connect? They're trying to intimidate Americans into submission to their demands. That's what Hawk Newsom said right out loud in front of God and everybody. Unless America bows to our demands, we are going to destroy the system and replace it. He used the expression, we are going to burn it down. He said, it's time to burn it down. He said this to a mob of radical kids who are eager to vent their hatred and the rage that the left has pumped into them over years of playing the race card and teaching them all this nonsense about America, distorting our history. How did he expect these young angry mobs, whites and blacks, by the way, how did he expect them to hear what he was saying? Now, when McCollum brought this out and asked him, she shamed him a little bit with Martin Luther King's words, and he tried to step it back a little bit, suggesting that he was talking metaphorically. But we see what they are doing and what they have done in Seattle, Portland, New York, Chicago. Friend, that's no metaphor. What does all this produce? I listened to a young black man present a deeply disturbing monologue on Facebook recently saying, effectively this, if we want to see change in this world, we have to start killing white people. At this point, with white people, we need to get rid of them. They are not even really from here. This is why we need to kill them. Yeah. So he's been fed this garbage. I'm going to start a group, he said, having talks about how they, and he's referring to the whites, of course, are privileged. See, he's been pumped this stuff. You don't have to deal with what I deal with, he says. We need to start killing white people. It's the only way to get any change. You know, he asked whether any white person watching his video had ever been accused of a crime they did not commit or spent time in jail for something they did not do. We do have courts where these things are tried, my friends. The underlying assumption that this is something that's just rampant, I think there are as many white people who are being held in jail for crimes they didn't do as there are black people. We know that Mueller was complicit in 3 or 4 or 5 white guys in jail for crimes they didn't commit. Yeah, it happens to white people too. And by the way, how about Flynn? How about Manafort? How about Stone? Their crime? Supporting Trump. Yes, whites get abused by police on probably about a par with blacks. We just never hear about it because it's never made an issue of. White guys have been killed by the exact same knee-on-the-neck move by police that killed George Floyd. And by the way, Nancy, that's George Floyd, not George Kirby. Man, woman, I don't even know who that is. You're out. I hear the roots of your evil tree loosening from the soil, and soon you'll be uprooted and cast into the sea, and hey, Newsom, that's a metaphor. Burn it down. No, that's a direct threat. Speaking of threats, Kerry warns us that unless people have access to vote, there could be revolution. And he kind of chuckled about it, extending his remarks to a statement that he thinks riots are going to break out if Trump is reelected. That might be stretching his words a little bit. I didn't have time to listen to all of Kerry's statements or remarks at that summit he attended. So maybe somewhere in that he did say he fears riots will break out if Trump is reelected, as I read in a certain Facebook post or somewhere. But what I heard is that he fears that unless people have access to voting, that is the sort of thing revolutions are made of, he said. And the context is this. He is saying that unless mail-in balloting is approved and accepted, he thinks there could be a revolution. Now, as far as the left's support of these riots is concerned, you can be certain that is exactly the message they intend for us to get. They want Americans to look at this and think, oh my God, if we elect Trump, these people are going to go crazy and they're going to burn down America. They want to intimidate Americans into cowering to their demands. Believe me on this. The Democrats want you to be afraid. They want you to be afraid of COVID. They want you to be afraid of these riots. They want you terrorized and fearful to dare defy them and vote for Trump. That's the underlying unspoken message here. Will they make good on these insinuated threats? I believe they will. That's why Americans have been arming themselves in unprecedented numbers over the last 10, 15 years. God-fearing patriots picked up the scent of this coming way back during Obama, and they've been arming up and learning how to use their weapons and gathering ammo, which is why the left has been doing everything they can to disarm us, to make access to ammo increasingly difficult, and why we must fight that battle, because these wicked, angry, and hate-filled people are vindictive. Friend, if they get into power, they will be coming after us. You want to be afraid? Well, you had better be afraid of the Democrats getting power into their hands. Just look how they use it. Look at Chicago, New York, named after an infamous slave trader, by the way, I just learned. Just look at how blue state governors act like little tin-horn dictators. Like ours, Newsom, whose recall I support, by the way. He has crossed the line. He's usurping authority that is not his. He fudges the language and plays these little games and so on. But listen, let me just take you to the bottom line here. We have a legislature. The legislature makes the laws, not him and not bureaucrats. Bureaucrats don't make law in America and not in California. Governors don't make law. Bureaucrats don't make law. Man, I wish you guys would wake up and understand what's going on here. No governor, no health bureaucrat or safety bureaucrat or whatever you want to call them has the power to make a law. What I'm saying right now is that Democrats are tyrants. They are King George tyrannical bullies who will take away your liberties and make you a slave to the state. You cannot trust them. You must not trust them with power. They use it for their own gain and to advance their own personal agenda. Look what Obama did in the White House with Russiagate, Spygate, and all that. So let me respond to Mr. Kerry's concern about revolution. If the Dems win and they start moving forward with what they have pretty much told us they plan to do, there are too many Americans who remember liberty, who remember freedom, and who will not trade away their liberty for Democrat empty promises of security. This whole nonsense with COVID-19. The death ratio is going down, 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 down all the time, and they're going up, 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 up with the oppression. How much liberty are you willing to give away to be protected from COVID, a disease from which 99% of those who get it recover? What is it about the facts that no one will stop and look at? Hey, I know how to save, I don't know how many thousands of lives this year. Just make everybody turn in their car. Ooh, wouldn't the liberals love that? Except they'll keep their cars, just like they will go out without their mask on. Anyway, that takes us to the voter fraud issue and the fact that the voter fraud machine is being tweaked for November, the double-edged sword of mail-in balloting. Common sense tells you that if you have a party that is willing to literally do anything to get power over us, I mean, going to the point of just breaking America to pieces in order that they might reshape it into a socialist dictatorship of a one-party system, the Democrat Party, common sense tells you you've got to ensure the integrity of the ballot box is the only thing that's going to save us. We can have a ballot box revolution, but only if the ballot box is honest. The mail-in ballot idea comes from the left, and they are using the fake COVID scare, I didn't say fake COVID disease, why do I bother? I'm going to twist my words anyway, as the rationale to justify it. They're trying to create an environment that makes it scary to people to go outside, to live your usual life. They want you cowering in your home, afraid to go outside, because they want to justify mail-in balloting. With up to 1 million registered on the polls that either have moved out of the state of California or who have died, all Newsom has to do is order a ballot mailed out to every person that they have on their rolls, and then let the harvesters go by and collect the ones they know are dead or gone or something like that. You see what's going on here? Yeah, well, they can be sent to certain... This has happened. Hundreds of ballots sent to certain addresses just waiting for someone to come pick them up. Only it got discovered. And so some guys are in serious trouble for that. That stuff is going on. That's what they're doing. So these wicked Democrats will come along and pick up all these ballots and fill them in for Biden and send them in to be counted. They've been doing this kind of thing all along, by the way, people voting in the name of a deceased person. We know this is done. It will happen on a massive scale if we allow this evil mail-in balloting scheme. Newsom must be stopped. He's not a dictator, but he's acting like one. Don't let them fool you about it being the only way to have a fair election. That is a lie. Friend, the only way to have a fair election is to have voters show up at the polls with identification that verifies they are who they present themselves to be, and then vote. So they get one vote, and they are a living, breathing citizen with an address on the in the precinct in which they're voting. That is the only way to ensure we have an honest ballot. The mail-in ballot is exactly the reverse of what they're claiming it is. If Trump wins, they will challenge the results based on the multiple challenges that will certainly arise from the mail-in ballot issue, right? They're going to use it either way. Listen, Kelly alluded to this enigmatically when he explained that if the election is close, well, we've done a good job of preparing for that too. That's what he said, folks. They have a strategy in place to keep hounding Trump if he wins by a narrow margin. They're, look, nothing is going to stop them except a big, big win in November. That's what they're trying to keep from happening. In other words, they are purposely setting up a scenario in which election integrity is going to be compromised. They want to compromise it on purpose, and they'll blame Trump, of course. It's another step toward destroying America and raising up a new nation under Satan with Imagine as the national anthem. Yeah, I kid you not. Imagine by John Lennon is being recommended to replace the Star Spangled Banner as our national anthem. We're going to sing our national anthem with our hand over our heart this Sunday. If you want to see what America will look like if Biden wins, take a look at every blue state and city right now. This is coming from an ideology that has corrupted the souls of the Democrat Party. If it were flipped the other way, they wouldn't tolerate this stuff for half of a second. You heard me say it last time. If this was a white group out there with a Christian flag waving and creating these little autonomous zones, it'd be Waco, baby, all over again. And by the way, democracy never leads to people rule. Democracy always leads to autocratic oppression in the name of the people. Wow, I did not even get to the masking of Americans. I do a thing called Comfort and Counsel for the Present Distress each evening, except Wednesday and Sunday. It's a live stream video on our church Facebook page. I call them visits because they're very informal. We're very relaxed, and we actually have quite a bit of interaction with those viewing. Go to our church Facebook page. You'll find it by searching Lighthouse Baptist Church, Santa Maria, California. Like the page, of course, and then set your settings there to receive notifications when I go live. I've lit the lamps of the Church Belfry Arch. You call and let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114. Email me by going to our website, godswar2020.com. GodsWar2020.com. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Okay, soldiers, speak up and charge the gates of hell.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.